Okay, up to Perek Dalet. Okay, Perek Dalet begins Shimu. Shimu Dvar Hashem B'nei Yisrael. Listen to the word of Hashem B'nei Yisrael. Ki Riv LaHashem Im Yesh V'Horetz. Hashem is making a quarrel. Hashem is picking a fight. Hashem is upset at Klal Yisrael because they are unfaithful. They're not loyal. So Hashem is creating a riv, picking a fight. Im Yeshvei Ki Riv. Why is Hashem upset? Because of the following reasons. Ki ein emes, v'yein chesed, v'yein das elokim ba'aretz. Three things. Three things are listed in this pasuk. Emes, chesed, and das elokim. Let's go further. Pasuk beis. And instead, olo v'chachesh. There is a violation of oaths. People are swearing falsely. V'chachesh, people are lying. V'rotsoyach, there is murder. The ganav, there is theft. Vina'if, there is adultery. Paratsu, these things have broken forth. Vidamim, bidamim, nagahu. So Ola is one. Chachesh is two. Ratzach is three. Ganav is four. Na'of is five. And damim, bidamim, nagahu is six. Nothing. That's nothing to the previous prayer. This is another nevuah. This appears to be a separate nevuah. This appears seemingly is the third nevuah. The first nevuah was Perek Alpha, Perek Beis. That was a nevuah relating to Hashem being told to marry an Isha Zoyna and to have three children, Yisrael, Loidu Cham Loyami. And then Perek Gimel was a nevuah that he should marry an Isha, and he should marry another wife who would be unfaithful. Or according to the Malbim, he should just have her as a companion. He should not marry her. And now, and that was the mashal for Klal Yisrael, they're unfaithful, and now we're making a whole new nevuah. So you're right, this is totally unrelated, this is a new nevuah. And here we're going to see, we have a list really of total of 10 things. It's going to be a beautiful gra. Okay, a beautiful gra. There are really 10 things listed here in this pasuk. Let's just leave the gra for a moment. Let's just first see the basic. Shutei shel mikra according to the Mitzudos David. So it's on Mitzudos David pasuk. Mitzudos David is on page 50. It is on page 53. Kiriv LaHashem Asher Hamokom Yisvakach Im Yisrael Yoshei Aretz. Hashem now is coming to give Musa. He's coming to debate the Jewish people who are called here in this pasuk the Yoshei Haaretz. So the Mitzudos is adding a very important detail that's not obvious from the pasuk, that the Yoshei Haaretz are a reference to Klal Yisrael. If not for this Mitzudos David, we have to find his source. Then we would assume that the Yoshei Aretz means with mankind. Hashem is not just Ribbono Shel Olam for Klal Yisrael. Hashem is the Ribbono Shel Olam for the entire world. So when it says the Yoshei Aretz, who says we're referring specifically to Klal Yisrael? Maybe because spoken was the Pesidah, what's taking place in the world, in the whole world, there's corruption. But yet the Mesidah Stavim says no. I guess he assumes that Stam Haaretz. Whenever the pasuk says Haaretz, especially with the Hei HaYehi, it refers to Eretz Yisrael. Who lives in Eretz Yisrael? Klal Yisrael. Nasati lachem Haaretz al manash sheyishmu elai v'hoil ve'enam shem ma lohem l'shev esvar. So this we're going to see a beautiful chazal. We'll see a little bit. Let me just see if this is going to be. We'll come to it. I remember which we marked it off. We'll find it somewhere soon. But Hashem is saying that you have violated your part of the bargain. We had an agreement. I will give you Eretz Yisrael. That's what I'm going to do. And you will be faithful to me. If you are in violation of your part of the deal, then I have no need to keep my part of the deal. I will now go and expel you from this land. That is the essence of what Hashem over here is saying. Since you're not, these are powerful words in the Mesudas Hoyle, the Einam Shem Malachem Lashad Esparetz. Kiein Emes, Shari Ein Baretz, Loy Evetz, Loy Chesed, the Ein Min Noisim Lev Lodas, Eswakim. There is no Emes, there is no Chesed, no one wants to pay attention to no Hashem. Pasuk Beis in the Mesudas, Aloy Vichachesh Nishboim, Umeshakrim, Bishbu Asam. Okay, those learned Afyomi know there's a difference between all different types of Shavuos. Shavuos Bitui, a shvua shav, a shvua sheker, shvua sapikadoin, a shvua sashaymrim, all different types of false oaths. And here it says, nishbam mashakrim, they swear and they lie, bishvu asam. Paratsu, return to Laimar, paratsu geder mishmeres hatorah, they have breached the geder, the fence of the mishmeres, mishmeres hatorah. Okay, they have basically, they're not in violation of all of the mitzvahs, vidamim. Kerbu lishbach gam al shenagu d'mei harug ze b'dmei harug ze. So he learns a very simple understanding of this pasuk, the line of interpretation of what this means. There is so much bloodshed that the blood of one fellow, of one victim, touches the blood of another victim. If you have one, a victim here, a victim there, so the blood that comes from the body, you knew it just a puddle of blood in the vicinity of the victim. But when there is so much bloodshed, to the degree where the blood of one victim mingles with the blood of another victim, this is something which means that it's out of control. Okay, so that concludes the Mitzudos. Okay, now let's see Rashi. Rashi says, Ein Das, plus page 52. Ein Das, Elokim, Ein Yodea Esek Lishbaruch Makir Bo V'yori Mipona. Rashi adds quite a bit of explanation to these very simple words. First he says, they do not know Hashem. Then he says, they do not recognize Hashem. And then he says, V'yori Mipona, they do not fear Hashem. Okay, Michal, there's over here, you'll tell me later what there's over here, a word over here in French, what that word is, what it means. But Rashi here, it's very, very interesting what Rashi means. What does Rashi mean here? Three different explanations for the word Das. Das, Elokim, I do not know who you are, I do not recognize who you are, and I do not fear Hashem. Pasuk Aleph, Perek Dalet, Pasuk Aleph. Now the truth is, Rashi here, if you study the story of Paro, you'd see us Mitzrayim, all of these expressions are used in reference to Paro. Paro says, Mi Hashem Asher Eshma Bekolo. Who is Hashem? Okay, there in that in the very beginning, Paro says, I don't know who Hashem is. And then later, Paro got to learn, like he learned who Hashem is. But the taina on him is, you don't recognize Hashem's greatness. Okay, I don't have a psukim on the tip of my tongue. And but as the story of Yetzias Mitzrayim progresses, we mamish go through these three stages. Moshe comes to Paro, Mi Hashem Asher Eshma Bekolo. Who is Hashem? I looked him up online, I couldn't find him. It's not on Wikipedia. Didn't make it.
Paro?
Paro.
The God book.
He looked in the God book.
Yeah.
He looked in the Wikipedia, he couldn't find Hashem listed there among the gods. Mi Hashem. He got to know Hashem very, very quickly, but he didn't appreciate the recognition of Hashem's power, what Hashem can do. And there are psukim, as you go through the makros, you see this idea, you see Laman, there are different, I don't know, the psukim, you have to study the psukim, you'll see that it comes to much more sophisticated. But the ultimately is Terem Tiru'un Mibnei Hashem. At the very, very end of the makros, it says the expression, the pasuk, I don't know where, that Hashem says to Moshe that there's still more work to do. We have to, Paro is a work in progress. Terem Tiri'un.
Yeah.
They do not yet fear Hashem. That's the highest
Madrega.
That's
Madrega. The end of Parsha's book.
Oh. The end of the Makos. The Makos Bechoros. They don't fear Hashem.
Pray for me.
He
recognized, no?
He knew Hashem. He knew there is a Ribbono Shel Olam to whom you can pray to, and he can do things, but he did not recognize the full scope, the full toikif, the full power of what Hashem is capable of. That's all part of the Makos. That's all part of the progression. And the very end was Yira, fear. Fear, that's the highest level. Whether fear means fear of punishment, whether it means Yiras Haraimimus, it means awe. It's the highest level. Oh. What?
That word in French looks like recognize.
Yeah, recognize.
Recognition.
Recognition.
I can see it in the translation, but looking at it.
Okay, now, recognition, very good. Yeah. Okay, recognition. So,
what were you up to?
Page 52. Page
Rashi. Which pasuk?
Pasuk Aleph.
Oh.
Rabbi Tversky is in his sefer. He wrote on the Chumash. He treated alcoholics. That was his main thing. And he said, the alcoholics, you have to reach a low point. It's called reach bottom before you can come back. So he says, Paro had to reach a low point. How do you know? Because he says, when you look at what happened in Nineveh, they say this was the same Paro. So he said, at that point, the minute Yonah came and told him, what did they do? He didn't question.
Immediately.
He normally you think of Michigan as here, doomsday is coming. He's a nut. This
he immediately.
Why? Because he remembered the Nevi'ah, so Moshe Rabbeinu.
Yeah, experience.
And now he said, I'm not taking that chance.
We're not going through this method again.
I'm not going through it again.
I went through the program.
I went through the program.
I already went through the Alcoholics Anonymous program. And if I don't want to go again, so we'll right away cut to the chase and cut out the nonsense. Absolutely.
He must have been an old man, Pari.
It's a Medrash, right?
The Pekka Rebbe Lezer writes it.
It was the first Medrash. So what exactly does that mean? The same Paro? All right, whatever it means. Okay, but I want to point this out. The Rashis over here in Hoshea are very unique. I find that a little bit that we're learning so far is that the Rashis in Hoshea are very dense. Very dense. Much more so than we've been learning in Yecheskel. In Yecheskel, they were a little bit easier. They were more general. Here, the Rashis seem to be very inject a lot of there's a lot of Targum. I've seen a lot of Targum, and he's injecting a lot of very powerful ideas, and it's not really clear where he's getting this from. He's saying something very, very profound, very deep, three different states of Hashem, knowing, recognition, and fearing, and clearly that's what's taking place in the Makos of Yetzias Mitzrayim with Paro and the Goyim, and he's saying Hashem is complaining about Klal Yisrael that we are lacking in these three. We're lacking in this process of knowing, recognition, and fearing Hashem. Pasuk Beis, Oloi
v'chachesh. So by that, you mean knowing is just being aware of Hashem's existence?
Correct, correct.
Recognition is a fuller
recognition is the fuller understanding.
I wonder why Rashi has to define the word das. Well, we don't know what das means, so.
Well, das is a very hard word to define. It really is. It's really, you know, it depends on the context. I mean, the das is a very hard word to define. We came across something, maybe we discussed it over here in the shir, and I remember, is that das, where do we find das the very first time in the Torah? The Eitz Hadas Toivara. What does das then mean in the very first time it appears? To understand the difference between one thing and the other. Toivara, there's a difference. This is forbidden, this is mutter. It's not all the same. The world is not one shade.
Right, that's the standard definition, right?
I don't know. Is that really what it means?
No, that's
Bina. That's a new level. That's already a new level. Bina means to be maven, to understand one thing from the... doesn't mean to understand it, but between right and wrong, you're going to come to a new understanding. There are two rights. Right, there's a right here and there's a right there, and now when we compare this and this, but they're both on the same playing field, we can have a deeper understanding. Das is basic, it's very interesting, a child. When does a child already achieve a degree of understanding? When does chinuch begin? When he's 6 years old. That's why I think we came across it, is that when does chinuch really start for a child? When he understands that there are certain things you don't do. You don't do. And there are certain things that you do. When he has this recognition that this is permitted and this is forbidden. It's not that just, okay, right now I'm taking it away from you. I just can't achieve it. He already understands, I've been taught, I've been trained, that this you do not do. Comes to laws of muksa. Let's say that. I think that's what I remember. Maybe that's what I came across. We come to laws of muksa. So when does the laws of muksa begin with a child? It begins with the child when the child understands that you don't do this ever. It's not just today. Right now I'm taking away the toy from you. I'm taking away this electronic gadget because I'm taking it away from you. So why are you taking it away from me? He doesn't understand. He's too little to understand. So you take it away from me now. In 10 minutes from now when you go away, I'll do it again. He doesn't understand that. No, I'm giving you instructions. This is something that you cannot do. Period. Period. Until I tell you you can do it, you cannot do it. That is a degree of sophistication of there are things that you can do, things that you cannot do. There is toiv, there is ra. There is mutter, there is asr. There is tamei, there is toha. That's called das. It doesn't, that's very...
Difference.
That's not necessarily the common translation of das. Commonly it says knowledge. Knowledge means I can explain something to you. I can read with you a pasuk. I can show you how to turn on the light. I can explain to you how to you can make a toy, a Lego. You can put something together. That's what commonly is translated as das. But that's not the way the word das is used for the very first time in the Torah. In the very first time in the Torah, das clearly means a distinction, a differentiation between one thing and another. Toy vara. Then there is Bina. Chazal say, what is Bina? Bina is Maven Davar Mitoch Davar. That's already a higher level of sophistication. Then there is Seichel. Seichel seemingly means application to the future. You understand something, and now you can derive a lesson that you could apply to a future situation. Now, you can study history. It's very good. I understand exactly what happened. You understand why the war began, and understand every single detail of what happened. And therefore what? What's going to be tomorrow? Tomorrow, when you're going to be presented with a conflict, are you going to be able to use what you've studied as a lesson, as a springboard, to know how to deal with what is in front of you in the future? Well, not necessarily. A person who has seichel is a person that has such a, in addition to the understanding of what has happened in the past, he's able to apply the lessons of what he's learned to the future. Okay, so this is even a higher level. But here we have over here this thing called Das, and Rashi over here, what it is called Das Elokim. Das Elokim are three different states: knowledge, a deeper understanding of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who is the Kol Yochol, and then is fear. Three different levels, which obviously need to be understood and needs to be really developed. What Rashi, the depth of this. A triple state, this three-level state. Pasuk Beis in Rashi, Olav Rachesh swearing, Nishba'in b'sheker. They would swear falsely. Pasuk that Paratzu, Tirgim Yonasan. Now this is a very, very shocking a translation from the Targum. Paratzu means, Moilidin binin minishay chavrehoin. They would produce mamzerim. Paratzu means to break the barrier. What is the ultimate barrier in this world? Man-made barrier? Is marriage. A man marries a woman, she is off limits. Okay? No, you have someone's house, you have a door, you have a lock, private property, but the person can invite you inside. Right? You want to come into my house? You can't come into my house. If you come into my house uninvited, I call the police and go to jail. Simple as that. Right? You're not allowed to come into private property, there are laws. But if I invite you in my house, you can come in the house, you can sit down, I can leave you alone, you can look through everything I have in my house if I give you permission. Everything in this world, there are limits. Right? You can't go into the White House. There's a lot of security. But if you get a private invitation from the president, you can go into the White House and leave. You can even sit down. He'll let you sit down at the Oval, on the Oval, in the Oval Office, on his desk.
I don't know about that. Yeah.
His daughter. He lets his daughter sit down.
That's
foul. So, when it comes to a wife, that's it. It's off limits. There is no way a person can violate his friend's wife. That is the ultimate restriction. That is the ultimate barrier in this world. The ultimate barrier in this world is an eshes ish. It's a barrier. When it says here paratz, which literally means to breach, to go to trespass, so the Targum takes this to the extreme. It doesn't just mean they've broken the bounds of the law. No, even when it comes to the law, you're not allowed to speed on the highway. But if you're a policeman, you can speed. Or if the police give you permission, they tell you, "No, you come with us, and you can just follow along. We're not going to give you a ticket." So you can get a dispensation for almost anything in this world. There's always a way to a legal loophole to do something which ordinary is off limits. But a wife in Eishes Ish, that's impossible. Maybe another example is in the Beis HaMikdash. Okay, you can't go into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. That's also off limits in Kedusha. But in general, between man and man, the Kehana by Yisrael cannot do what a Kohen does. That's off limits. But the world is Eishes Ish. So when a person trespasses, the ultimate breach of trespassing, the Targum says, is to produce a mamzer. Which means he has violated his friend's wife to the degree where she became pregnant and had a child, produced a mamzer. The proof is in the pudding. Okay, the fact that there's a baby over here shows that there's a violation. And that's how the Targum learns pshat in the word porotsu. Next, the damim.
One second. Just a note here. This is Yonasan, perhaps translates porotsu as a reference to population increase. Similar to Cain.
Ah, interesting. Gross. Very good. Not very good. Okay. Very, very good. Six words in this pasuk, which Chazal learned that six children, shisha, bikeres, echad. Six babies in one birth. Okay. Six babies. So he's saying that he's taking from the word paratzu, vayishus, vayifritzu.
That's
yifchein yifrotz. That's used in reference to peru urvu, pri urvia, and he's applying it here. That's how he got the interpretation. It means that he had children, but here it's in a negative context. It was illegitimate children. Okay, next words, v'damim, b'damim, nagahu. The Targum says v'chayvin al chay.
Sorry, how do you in English? What's the correct translation of a mamzer?
Bastard.
But that's like a curse word, right? People use it as.
Yeah, well, that's what a mamzer is. A mamzer is
also a curse word.
It's also a curse. I think that's the translation.
People, they get, you know,
a bastard.
Become like a foul language already. That
mamzer.
No, I'm talking about
the word bastard.
Yeah, no.
Yeah, that's pretty.
They get angry, you know, they use that.
They call a mamzer. They call someone a mamzer. A mamzer is a. As I'll say, you should never call a paisel the mumai paisel. You are what. If a person calls someone else a mamzer, check into him. It may very well be that he is a mamzer. Person has a tendency to project his deficiencies upon others. So if a person's called someone else a mamzer, so I got to check into that person. Maybe he's the mamzer. All right, let's go further. V'damim, b'damim nagahu. Okay, what does it mean over here? V'damim, b'damim nagahu. So the Targum says it means v'chayvin al chayvin moisifin. Now, dam over here, we learn until now, I mean, damim means blood. The Mitzudos David says it means murder. And there was so much murder where the blood of one victim would mingle with the blood of another victim. But that's not what the Targum says. He says it just means, simply means, chayvin. Damim is, I don't know, it's a borrowed word, a borrowed term, which means guilt.
Like, ein lo damim, it says in the
Targum. Ein lo damim means you kill him. His blood, ein lo damim means
money.
No, damim with a mem means money. Damim, here's a mem. Damim, b'damim, wait. Shudah Shabbat Damim, the Sharish is blood. But Damim
means
consequences. Consequences. Okay. He's taking the word Damim to mean guilt. Guilt.
You know why Damim is very similar to money? Because just like blood circulates in the person's body, money circulates.
Circulates throughout the world. That's very good. Right. Very good. So Damim, Chayvin, Al Chayvin, Moisifin, people, they continue to do acts of injustice. Period. Okay, we have to really be ma'ayin why the Targum said the word that he lightened the load. And the previous word paratsu, he really intensified the definition to mean a mamzer. And here when it says damim murder, which simply means murder, he says it doesn't mean murder, it means they did averos. Averos. The chayvin al chayvin moisifin. Ulufi mashmoi paratsu hageder, the Hebrew shefich hastam, it means they breached the barriers, meaning they did the hirbu shvichas tamim ad negoya dam horug dze bedam chaveroy. Like we learned in the Mesudos, is that there was so much murder, the blood of one victim would touch the blood of another victim. Okay, let's see.
So what does this mean, that the whole nation was doing all these things?
So that's the age-old question. We've mentioned this many, many times. There are two different approaches to this. Some say yes. Some say that if we were transplanted a time capsule and come back and go watch the time of Hashem, go take a walk through the streets. We would see on the streets dead bodies and blood spilling.
East.
Yeah, the Wild West, the Wild East. Yeah, so Einech Nami, some people say exactly what it was. If you go there and you would see this, you would mamash see on the street dead bodies all over the place and blood mingling in the streets, and people were cursing and swearing, and every single thing that says would be taken literally. And then there's the opposite approach. And that is, if we would be transplanted back in this point in time, we would look around the streets, we would spend a week there, we would say, wow, what a beautiful society. Such holy, wonderful people. These people are just angels. A society like I've never seen. So what is Hoshea talking about? Hoshea is super duper magnifying minor imperfections, which he saw through HaKadosh Baruch Hu will one day lead to the Churban of Klal Yisrael. So people were like good people, but people had in their heart, you know, little sinas chinam. And even subconsciously, they were doing their friend. And when it says, what?
Why couldn't it be a silent majority?
The silent, what do you mean the silent majority? They allow this. Yes, the Einech Nami. So maybe the silent majority means even 99%. Einech Nami.
Yeah.
It means this is all a super magnification of very, very small deficiencies in Klal Yisrael. Dal means if you mal b'pnei chaver barabim, you know, that's murder. Abizrayu the Shvichas Dom, you make a joke. You make a joke, you say something, you make a little litzana, so the person is slightly embarrassed. And when the person makes the joke, it doesn't lie, they're not a joke, big deal. But really, deep down inside, there's jealousy, there is sinas chinam, and you meant it. And when the person turned a little bit white, that's what it means. Damim bidamim nagahu. So, what is it? So we don't know. This is an age-old machlekes in the Rishonim. I cannot cite for you chapter and verse. What exactly is Hoshea?
Taking a different perspective.
Right. So this is the age-old question in all of the Nevi'im. All of the Nevi'im, when they're talking, what exactly are they seeing in front of them? Okay, but we take it, so we have to understand the different approaches. Now let's go see the Alad Mamori Chazal on this page 52. Let's run through them very quickly, then we'll do some other things, some beautiful grah. And there is a little, we'll see, we'll one thing at a time. Let's just first see the basics. The basics are the Mamari Chazal. Okay, on page 52, we're going to go very quickly. Kiriv la Hashem im yosh v'aretz ki ein emes v'in chesed v'in das elokim v'aretz. So the first Chazal is uli madetem osam osam u'shmartem la'asoysam magid akosta v'shem ma'aseh talmud b'talmud. Ma'aseh depends upon learning. A person cannot know what to do in this world unless you learn. If you do not have an education, the ain Talmud totally b'maisa. It all starts with the study of Torah. If you study Torah, you will know what to do. If you do not study Torah, you're not going to know how to do the mitzvahs. The chayin motzinu she'onash ala Talmud yosef b'maisa. And therefore, if when HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes to punish, Hashem punishes more for a lack of education than for actually not doing a mitzvah. A person does not do a mitzvah or does an avera, you cannot hold them accountable. Because how am I supposed to know that I'm supposed to do this mitzvah? How am I supposed to know that I should not do this avera? It's a very good excuse. But there is no excuse for not learning Torah to know what to do. So when HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings punishment, the ikur punishment is not because of what you have done, what you have not done. It's because you have the lack of knowledge and the opportunity that you did have and you failed to take advantage. How do we know this? Shenemar. Shimu, this very basic, it's such a basic principle in life, is derived from the pas that we have just learned. Shimu devar Hashem b'nei Yisrael. Listen to the word of Hashem. The Devar Hashem. You always hear Darshanim say the people come to hear the Devar Hashem. You come to a drasha, you come to a shir. What are you coming to? You're coming, mamash, what it says is pasuk. Shimu Devar Hashem. Okay, you have a teacher, and the teacher is teaching, and you're coming to listen. Shimu Devar Hashem. Ki riv la Hashem im yoshua aretz, ki ein emes v'in chesed v'in das elokim aretz. So the more darshans, ein emes, ein divrei emes. Nemer kan emes, nemer lahalim emes, nemer Torah. Torah is called emes. Emes kinev yal timkar. V'ein chesed, v'ein divrei chesed. Torah is also called chesed. Shenemar, chastecho Hashem mol ha'aretz. Your chesed, which this is the pasuk which refers to Torah, the Torah fills the earth. V'ein das, ein divrei das nemarim, the words of das. Torah is called das. Shenemar, nidmu ami mibli hadas. My people have been silenced. They don't know what to say. They don't have anything to say. They don't have any different Torah because they don't know anything. Ki ato hadas ma'as, because you have rejected das. This is a beautiful drasha, powerful drasha, that this all three things that are mentioned in this pasuk aleph are all code words for the study of Torah. Okay, Torah is called Torah Chesed. Okay, there are many. Okay, I remember Torah Chesed and the MS Knei and Das Elokim. And therefore, the Musa that Hoshea is giving Klal Yisrael is, how come you're not sitting in the Beis Medrash and learning Torah? That's the Ikur Musa, and the Ikur punishment will come for lack of Talmud Torah, because that's where it all begins. Okay, next drasha. Beis, okay, is Oloi V'chachesh. Okay, I'm getting on page 52, I'm now on the second drasha on the bottom, Likutei Shas. Zakin told me every time he says the word Zakin, there's a tradition that refers to Eliyahu Hanavi. Bebeko Zo in this valley, Harag Nivu Zaradon, Rav Tabachim, Mosayim Viachas Eshe Riboy. 21 times 10,000. 210,000 people. Ribo is 10,000. and Achas. I made a mistake. Mosayim v'Achas Ashrei. 211. 211. The Achas Esrei. Okay, Achas Esrei is ten. Achas is one. Is that correct?
Achas is 11.
11.
Yeah. Yeah.
So 211 multiplied by 10,000. 2,000,000. 2,100,000.
Wow.
Is that correct? 200. What?
110,000. No.
2,000,000 and 100. 2,000,000 and 110,000.
2.1 million.
2.1. Yeah. 2,100,000 people.
110.
2,110,000 people.
10,000.
So how many million?
2,000,000.
Wow.
2,000,000.
In one valley.
110,000 people. 2,000,000 and 110,000 people were killed in the valley, this valley, by who? Nebuzaradan. By Nivuz, he was the chief executioner of the Nebuchadnezzar.
He ultimately converted.
He ran away. Rabbi Meir came from him. He became a ger? Okay, and Rabbi Meir came from him. Right. The Haluka Rabbi Meir is a descendant of Nebuzaradan.
Yeah.
And he was Arak, he ran away. It doesn't say explicitly that he became a ger tzedek. Okay, yeah, could be. Okay, fine. Okay. So he converted. Ubi Yushalayim Har, that was killed in this valley. Okay, the Bika is outside of Yerushalayim. Ubi Yerushalayim, Harak Tishim Yarba, Rebo, 940,000. Rebo is 10,000, 94 multiplied by 10,000, 940,000, Al Evan Achas, Ad Shaholach Damam, Zechariah. This all was a fulfillment in order to appease the blood of Zechariah ben Yehoyada. Zechariah ben Yehoyada was Chazal says this is all about Tisha B'Av. So there are multiple kinois. He's mentioned all over the kinois of Tisha B'Av. He was the son of Yehoyada. Yeah. He was seven things. The Chazal says he was a navi, and he was a koyin.
It's not the same navi that's mentioned in Treyaser.
No, it's not the same. That's Zechariah ben Berechia. The navi in the navi is Zechariah ben Berechia. He lived much later. He lived much later on. Zechariah ben Yehoyada was much earlier, and he was killed by Klal Yisrael in the Beis Hamikdash on Shabbos. I think maybe even on Yom Kippur.
Yeah.
And he was giving Shabbos, and he was giving Musar not to worship idols. The people had enough of him, and the king gave the command that he should be killed, and he was killed. And as his blood was oozing out, and he was dying, he said. He said, Hashem shall avenge my blood. I've got the exact words. Hashem should avenge my blood. And his blood was bubbling, remained bubbling for over almost 200 years until the time of the Churban Beis HaMikdash, when Nebuzaradan came into the Beis HaMikdash and he saw this blood that was bubbling, and he asked the Kohanim, why is it bubbling? And they did not want to tell him what happened. And they said, oh, this is just the blood of a korban. And Nebuzaradan did forensic testing. He called in all of the specialists and they tried to examine the blood, and it was not like the blood of any animal. And he told the people, you're lying to me. And if you don't tell me what this blood came from, I'm going to kill you all. And they confessed that this is the blood of Zechariah ben Yehoyada, who was killed in the Beis HaMikdash 200 years ago, when he was giving Musar to Klal Yisrael, they should stop worshipping idols. So Nebuzaradan said, Zechariah, do not worry, I will avenge your blood. And he brought out, what it says over here, 940,000 children, the best, the Sanhedrin and his children, the best of Klal Yisrael, and he slaughtered them over this blood, and the blood mingled with his blood, and the blood still did not stop bubbling. Then Nebuzaradan said to Zechariah, I've already killed the best of Klal Yisrael. Do you want me to kill them all, to finish them off entirely? And at that moment in time, the blood stopped bubbling. And at that moment in time, Nebuzaradan said to himself, wow, look at this. For the murder of one person, 940,000 of the best of Klal Yisrael.
Ribu is
10,000.
So how much is that?
10,000 multiplied by 94 is 940,000.
Okay.
So I already killed the best of Klal Yisrael. Should I kill them all? The blood stopped bubbling. Then at that moment in time, Nebuzaradan said, he made a Kal Vachomer, if for the blood of one person, 940,000 people had to die.
That's almost a million.
How? Yeah, it is. So how much more so? How much trouble am I going to be in? what's going to be with what I have done? I have taken so much blood. I'm finished. And it was Maharer B'Tshuva. He disappeared, never to be seen again. And we know that Rabbi Meir, Chagamara says, the Halakha of Rabbi Meir came forth from this person. Very shocking. How can there be such a thing like that? That a person of such a rishis can be merit that he should be the father or the grandfather, whatever it is, of the Halakha of Rabbi Meir, Stam Mishnah, Rabbi Meir. Is there an answer to that question? There's no answer to that question. I'm sorry. There's no answer to that question.
That Rabbi Meir, would have Rabbi Meir, all this had to be done. That means he was equal to all these 940,000 people.
That's Kabbalah. That's Kabbalistic thing. Beyond our understanding.
I mean, Dave should know what he
means. Yeah, right. These are beyond our understanding.
Even
to try to make believe that we understand these things is just impossible.
Some have tried to explain.
It's impossible,
you know, this thing of going from one extreme to the other as, you know, somebody who has this outstanding talent, outstanding ability, it just has channeled it in a negative
direction. Correct.
And now you have descending from him somebody that
but it's not fear. It's
now turning it into a positive energy.
But in our limited understanding, it's not fear. A person who has brought such agony and grief to this world, it's just not fair that he should merit what?
You want fair?
Exactly. So it's not fair. So I'm saying there's no way for us to understand this.
Is there atonement for murder?
Is there? Yeah, there is. There is atonement for murder.
Yeah.
Everything is atonement. It's not enough. It'd be the next world. In the next world, we don't know how these things work. How you take someone's life prematurely, you've denied that person the ability to live and do mitzvahs and have children and to, you know, to accomplish. It's hard for us to understand how there could be atonement.
Yeah.
Okay? Is there? Chazal say there is. There's atonement for everything. But what does it mean? What does that mean? It's not easy for us to understand. Okay, let's go further. So this, so the Gemara... It says we just read it. We read this inside. What?
That's not what he was asking.
Who says that Rabbi Meir is Moshe?
I didn't say that. It's not so far-fetched. You'll find this in a Kabbalah Sefer, something like that. Yeah. What are these things?
That's something.
But I mean, it's so naive of us to even think the thing that we understand these things. It's so naive of us. Yeah.
Now, do we say practically, do we accept a girl which was doing this terrible thing, like Eichmann, if he would suddenly said, oh, I want to convert to Judaism?
I wouldn't.
but
if I was on the Bez Din, I wouldn't.
Will you?
Are you telling me there are Dayanim in Eretz Yisrael? I don't know what to tell you. I really don't know what to tell you. It's not logical. It's not logical that a Dayan today, let's say you think Mamash Eichmann would come while he's waiting on death row,
yeah,
and he would say, "I want to be Megayer.
Yeah.
I want to be Megayer." So, is there a Bez Din in Eretz Yisrael that would? Do they have
children?
Do they have the right? Do they have the right to be meichel on someone else's pain? It's one thing, you know, maybe between me and you. If you've done something to me, so I have the right to be meichel. It's a very important thing when it comes to forgiveness. I can be meichel you, but I don't have the right. I'm not the bala boss to be meichel for someone else.
There's a story of a Nazi who escaped to, I think, Argentina and became Jewish. He made believe he was Jewish and he married a Jewish woman. And there was just questions about it. So when he died, they buried him under a path.
What do you mean under the path?
They put him in the Jewish cemetery, but where the path was...
Not... People
so
stepped on him.
Would walk over.
They would step on him, yeah.
Everyone would walk over.
I always find it very difficult when you have these heads of state and they come, let's say, to Israel, to the Hal, to the Yad Vashem.
Yeah.
I don't really pay attention, and so they'll say, oh, we're sorry, we could have done more. Very nice, you're sorry, but you know, you're not the Bala, we are not today the Bala boss to be Moichel for all the people who died. So if you're the Prime Minister of Israel, I mean, all the different heads of state of the State of Israel, it's very nice to be makabel these people, but I can't understand anyone anyone from Klal Yisrael saying, okay, we'll moichel you. You're not, no one today is a bala boss to be moichel for 6 million people who were incinerated.
Yeah, but this here, it says here, he killed so many people and then he can get some.
I mean, the Gemara says this.
It doesn't say he was a Megayer.
What? I have to look at the Gemara. He was Orak. It says that he ran away. Does it say that he was Megayer? I don't remember. You have to look at the Gemara in Masechet Gittin. Look at the Gemara in Daflun Zion. It says that he was Mamash Megayer. It says that he ran away. He ran away, I don't know what it says there. And then the Gemara says, and from him came Rebbe Meir. Now Rebbe Meir obviously was Jewish, okay? And so say, well, a child is not, maybe you lighten the severity, you'll see that the child is a different human being. Okay, just because he's biologically related to a Rasha, you know, so, but he's a fresh leaf. It does take away. It will say that he, Nebuzaradan himself became Rebbe Meir. That's much, much more difficult to grasp. And when it says Rebbe became Rebbe Meir, it doesn't necessarily mean that it was a ben. It could be that it was a descendant. And also, it was came from the wife's side. From not a ben achar ben. That a lot of times you have that idea. It just means that in his blood, there was a mashu of his blood, but it doesn't mean it was a ben achar ben. It means from a woman from the mother's side. He happened to have a chelek that
same
he
with Haman.
B'nei banav shel Haman lamdu Torah b'bnei Brak. But you have to understand, Haman failed. Haman did not succeed in doing anything. Haman had the gezerah, lahashmir, lahar, whatever it's called. But the end of the day was he didn't touch no one. No one got killed. I mean, the truth was that Daniel. Okay, that's a whole shot. Daniel, he killed, murdered Daniel, according to Chazal, according to one opinion. Vayevel Hasach, or some say that he murdered Daniel. Daniel was from the greatest of the great. Okay, so but how can you compare Haman to Nebuzaradan? Haman, he tried, he failed. Nebuzaradan succeeded.
Yes.
Okay, Hitler yimach shemel v'zichro. Okay, he succeeded. I mean, so how do you, Eichmann, it's very, very hard to grasp. And people have these very these ideas. I don't know, you have to be realistic also. You have to be in the real world to appreciate how much pain and suffering these people have. It's all very nice to sit back on a lounge chair and, you know, oh, it's a Gilgal and this not meant to be. And yeah, when you're in that position, when Rahman was stunned, the person himself was going into the guest chambers, the Gilgulim theories don't hold any water. When the person himself is suffering, the suffering is so intense, there is no answer. There is no satisfactory answer, and this is the age-old question, Tzadik v'ra loy. And Hashem said to Moshe, I'm sorry, you'll never know the
answer.
Moshe Rabbeinu
did. Moshe
Rabbeinu. Ufonai lo yeru. There is no answer. Let's not be so naive to think that we are possible to understand the answers to these difficult questions. Hal pasik beis. We're in the middle of this. So the Gemara darshes this whole story from, go down two lines after that Dibur HaMaschil. Okay, that's the makar of the pasuk. When the Gemara quotes the Chazal, it uses this pasuk, the 940,000 children that were killed, damim bidamim nagahu, the blood of these people touched the blood of Zechariah. Zechariah's blood was bubbling, and these 940,000 victims, their blood touched his blood to appease, and it did not work. A person does not know the laws, stay far, far away. People who do not know what they're doing, the Masada Kiddushin, do not know what they're doing, they're worse to the world than the Dor HaMavol.
Could we say every Masada Kiddushin knows them?
You have to know the laws. My father once told me, my father once went to a very modern wedding, and the Masada Kiddushin was someone that my father knew. And he has a reputation. Even today, I know his name. I'm not going to tell you who his name is. And he's a very well known person in certain circles, not necessarily in the Haredi circles, but he's a very well known person. And he went to the wedding and he did a double ring ceremony, with a full. And he said these crazy things. A very, very modern wedding. And he said, in the power vested in me. But he said, this is a rabbi who has smicha. He's a very well respected person. He wrote books. And the power vested in me, I declare you husband and wife. So my father says, the kedusha is not chal. My father, Mama felt the whole kedusha was a mekach tos. There's no such thing as you have koyach. The rabbi has no koyach to effect kedusha. The kedusha is ben hashamayim. the chassan gives the tabas, he gives the kesef kedushin one way. Here was an exchange, a chalipin. He mamish made it. He did it the worst way you can possibly make it, a chalipin. They exchanged it, and he also added to the fuel to the fire by saying that I am the one. I, as the rabbi, have the koyach to make the kedushin. Sheker. This is nonsense. So my father, he came out of there horrified. He really felt la halacha. There's a real shayla. These two people even married. Are these people married? So people are like this, they may bring korban to the world. Because the same way, so these people are not really married. Whatever the consequences are, but when it comes to gerushin, it's even worse. Because gerushin, if a person does not know what he's doing when it comes to giving a get, and they think they're divorced, and the woman remarries, then the child is a mamzer. So they're dealing over here with dvarim chamud mad ma'od, shematim, because the worst in the dor hamabel, because the worst in the dor hamabel, shematim isur eish asish, shenema oloi v'chachosh v'atzach v'gonav v'no'if, poratzu b'dam v'dam v'nagahu, the Gemara makes a drasha, my mashma, shapasim b'dam v'alavoyin eish asish, k'dim etagim av Yosef, Ma'lidin, he quotes the time that we just learned before in the Rashi, Ma'lidin benin min shechav rehoin. Choyvin al choyvin, chet al chet moisivin, al kain, and the next person goes on to say, al kain teval ha'aretz, the earth will mourn, that's we didn't do that pasuk yet, v'umlal kol yoshei ba, b'chayas ha'sadim v'shamayim, v'gam digal yam yasafu, v'ilu b'der ha'mabu lo nigzra gzera al dogim shebayam. Shenemar mikol ha'shebachor v'meisu, v'loi dogim shebayam. V'ilu ha'cha, afilu dig dogim shebayam. V'ilmar zakasha, maybe what it means over here, now over here it says porotsu. Porotsu means what? Mamzerim. Yeah. And over here the Gemara is darshening. What does it mean? Why are there parotsu? Because the people that are issuing, that are being masader, the gitin, don't know Benyamin Lasmal. They don't know what they're doing. So the get is not a kosher get. And now the big matter in Eishes Ish. It's causing mamzerim. And then the next pasuk goes on to say that even the fish, the world will come to an end. Even the fish will be destroyed. It's worse than the Bible. Mm-hmm. But maybe you have to do all of these things. Maybe in order for the world to be destroyed, it has to be everything. It has to be Oloi, Vichachesh, Ratsoyach, Gonoi, Vinoif, Vidamim, Bedam, Nagyazav, all ten things of the previous pasukos, you have them all ten together. How do you know that even one is enough to cause the world to come to an end? The aim of Lukulun, Lukol, however, some news, the Pasuk, Aval, Alavoin, Ashish, Vadlo, Magia, Ainazer, the Gemara says, Miksif, Uforotsu, look at this Pasuk, there's no Vav, it's the only one that doesn't have a Vav. Isn't that amazing? It says Oloi, that's the first Vi Chachesh, Vi Rotzach, Vi Gonoi, Vi Noif, and then it says Paratsu. So what happened to the Vav? So if you learn that the word Paratsu is just a description, that maybe the Pshut Shalmek, where it's not an independent sin, it's a description, okay, so we have an understanding. But the Gemara says, no, the Gemara seems to say, the Targum learns, no, the word Paratsu is equal to Oloi V'chachesh V'ratzach V'gonoi V'noif. It's also one particular sin. And therefore, how come this one item here does not have a Vav and everything else has a Vav? The answer is, this is Shakol Kineged Kulam. This alone will bring the Chum to the world. Paratsu Ksiv, Per and Nifet, that's a very powerful Gemara to teach to how Chomor it is, Kol Mi She'eni Yodea B'tiv, in the nature of giving the condition, Lo Yehei Esek Imohen, should not be involved. Next, V'chol Averos Shabbatara Nifram Mimenu, V'kan B'mishpah L'sheker Nifram Mimenu, U'mikol Olam Kulay. Okay, this was a Daf Yomi, not that long ago. Mesechta Shavuos, that when a person swears falsely, not only is he going to be punished, the whole world suffers. When a person makes a false shua, the whole world suffers along with him. Shenemar, because it says here in this pasuk, Olav Chachesh, it says, Al Kein Teval Ha'aretz, V'umlal Kol Yoshev Ba. Next Chazal, it says, Lo Sisa, a person should not swear falsely. Hashem, 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 it says, Lo Tignoif. Okay, we read the Aseres Hadibrois across. So what corresponds to Lois Sisa? The third of the Aseres Hadibrois, do not swear falsely, do not tignoif. Magid HaKosev. The meaning is, Shekol Mishu Goynev L'soif Ba'al Lidei Shvua Shav. The two are interrelated. The person who steals will ultimately come to swear falsely. Shenemar HaGonoiv Ratzoyach. This passage in Yirmiyah. The HaGonoiv Ratzoyach V'Noiv V'Hishaveya La Sheker. This person, he steals, he murders, he commits adultery, and then he comes to swear falsely.
By the way, that
and the other pasuk is the chassidim says Oloi v'chachesh again over here. It is what we need now. Why it's bringing down this chazal here? This pasuk as well. Oloi v'chachesh v'ratzeach v'gamei v'na'if. They're all in the same pasuk. They're all linked together to teach you that one is totally in the other. Just like in the Aseres Hadibros, they are read across. Yes.
Just to know that pasuk that he's quoting, Pasuk Yisrael, is referring to kidnapping.
Okay, true, correct. But it's still the idea of theft, correct?
Yeah, 100%.
It's the ultimate theft.
Stealing bodies.
Stealing a person is the ultimate theft.
It makes more sense that Rotzeach here doesn't mean killing, it means kidnapping. Because you're saying that...
No, Rotzeach means murder.
Dhamma at the end. So Dhamma B'Dhamma is more
Rotzeach. You want to say it means like kidnapping as well?
You're going to say that Rotzeach and Agamah is better than a Noyev?
That's in terms of the
Sibra. But Rotsoyach has to mean murder. Damim bidamim nagahu means a lot of murder. It's talking about the quantity of murder.
It says vid, and it has a
vav by vidam. Okay, maybe that's why the Targum does not learn the word dam means murder. Maybe that's the answer to that question that we started with in Rashi. Why does the Targum say the dam means, it means choyvin, acts of guilt? Maybe because it can't mean murder, because it already said murder. It said Rotsoyach. So what then does it mean, damim bidamim? That's why he said it means they do crimes. They commit choyvin al choyvin. They add one crime to the next. Okay, let's see the gra. The gra is a beautiful gra. Pasuk Aleph Gimel, page Dalet. Biuri ha-gra. Ki ein emes. What is emes? Zo toira. Ve'ein chesed. Zo gemilas chasodim. Ve'ein das. Zo yidias Hashem. That Uchara corresponds to Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Who was the first one to be Makar Hashem? Avraham. Who was Isaac? Well, Avraham was also Chesed. He was the Chesed and Emes. I guess Yaakov. So where does Yitzchak fit in? I take it back. Where does Yitzchak fit in? I do not know. Das is Yedias Hashem. Yedias Hashem. I would look her associated with Avraham. Avraham was the first one. The first, but Avraham is certainly called Chesed. MS is certainly a Yaakov. All right, whatever it is, these are the three things. The MS who dava shabeinu. Now he has a new idea.
He brings the first thing is Moshe.
Where's Moshe?
He says Torah.
So Torah. Titan MS liyakov. In the others, we always associate Avraham with Chesed, Yitzchak with Tefillah, and Yaakov with Torah. That's a very, very popular, very run of the mill. Whatever it is, these are the three things. Now the MS, now he says something very interesting. The MS, Hudava Shabeinoy Lebein Atzma. Isn't that amazing? What is MS? MS is. What?
Fool yourself.
Not to fool yourself, and to look deep into yourself, Musar, to know where you're really holding. The Chesed, Hubeinoy Lebein Chaveroy. The Das Elokim, Hubeinoy Lebein Amokim. Isn't that beautiful? Three different dimensions in your life. You have to be true to yourself. True to your friends and true to HaKadosh. We always like to say Adam lachaveroi and Adam lamakayim. No, there's really
Allah.
So that's not always that. We don't always mention that. That's something which is not very. That's always left out.
There are
some who do. Right. So here we have from the Gra very here he puts into the pasuk this Adam lachaveroi, Adam lamakayim, bein Adam leatzmo.
Right, so the second pasuk, Olo v'kachash, you're lying to yourself.
Yeah.
Right, it's for yourself. The other person doesn't know
that
you're lying.
Olo is a shvur to someone else. V'kachash means you're lying to yourself.
V'retzach is bein
you murder someone else.
Right.
The gun of
Adam lachaveroi.
Okay.
And Noyev is what?
Adam lachaveroi.
Adam lamakayim.
Why is Adam al-Makayim?
What's the problem?
You steal someone's wife.
So what? What are
you
doing?
You destroy their marriage. You destroy someone's marriage. I thought what you're going to say is that Rotsoyach is to kill someone else, and Damim Bidamim Nagam is to kill yourself. Or the other way around. In other words, you ruin your own life. You do yourself in. You give up. You give up. You miyayish. You suffer from problems. You become depressed, and you don't want to go weiter. You'll live, but you're not going to accomplish what was meant for you to accomplish.
Are you going to finish the Gra?
We're going to go weiter. Now, before I want to tell you, there's one thing. There's a Rambam. I can't find this Rambam. I desperately, if no one's someone can find it, you're going to find it for me. The Arizal.
He's
going to find me that. The Rambam says somewhere that when it comes on Rosh, on Yom Kippur, you have to. There are three dimensions to Mechila. You have to seek mechila from Hashem. Yeah, I've sinned against you, Hashem. Adam lamakoyim. I didn't daven with kavana, shmon esrei, whatever. I didn't have emuna. And then you have to be mevakesh mechila bin Adam lachavera. Right? Everything I told you so far, you learn in kindergarten. But the Rambam says you have to forgive yourself. Okay, many people have a
problem. Wow.
Find that Rambam for me. I read this somewhere. I read this. You got to find the Rambam for me. I can't look all over. I couldn't find it.
Rambam. Not the Rambam.
No, Rambam. The Rambam says, I don't know where it is. You find it. I took it to the computer. I looked all over. I can't find it. It's an amazing Rambam.
I think that it's
I looked there. I couldn't find it. Maybe I overlooked it. Three dimensions. You have to forgive yourself. You moichel yourself and get on with life. Move forward.
Wow.
Okay, that's also parallels this idea. When it comes to doing mitzvahs, when it comes to living your life, you have to, there's a dimension, Adam la-makam, Adam la-chaveroi, and bin Adam la-atzmoi. There's such a thing. The Gra says that's the pshat. The das elokim, it's the MS is between yourself. Chesed, someone else. Das elokim is Adam la-makam. Now we have a very beautiful Vizel Sham. Now let's go weiter in the Gra. Vizel Shamru in the page 54. Vizel Sham Chazal. Man the boy levevi chasidi yikai mili the others. Okay, Chazal. You have the three things a person should do if you want to be a chosid. Okay, number one is avos. What's avos all about? Who beinoy lebein atznoy. You hear such a story? When you learn perkei avos, the whole focus is who am I? Learn about yourself. Study your. It's not about someone else. It's about to know who you are. Then it says umili din azakin. Umili din azakin is don't cause harm to someone else. And then it says beinon lechaveru. Umile de brachos is bin adam la makam. Isn't that beautiful? These three things, if you want to be a chassid, these are the three things you have to do. What they call parallel, what we just read in this pasuk, emes, chesed, and das elokim. Adam la makam, adam la chaveroi, and the most important probably is bin adam la atzmai. You got to know who you are, you got to know where you're holding, you got to be honest with yourself. Okay, next. Now he gives you another idea. MS is Dibor. Chesed b'maisa v'dasu b'machshava. Isn't that beautiful? Another three dimensions to a person's existence. There is Dibor, Maisa, and Machshava. People think that they're not responsible for their thoughts. It's not true. Thoughts, if you work hard enough on your machshavas, you can discipline yourself. Okay, it's a big avaida. It's a very big avodah, but we don't have time to specialize. You don't hear people focusing on machshava today. This man has at all, but you know, there's no question about it that if a person has a rebbe, you have a derech, you have a psychologist. There is a mahalach where you can be metaher your thoughts in all different dimensions of life. So that's called das. MS is dibur. You speak words of truth. Chesed are your deeds, your actions. And das elokim is to be metaher your machshavos. Fascinating. Now he says the next fascinating thing. The Omar Khan asara devarim. If you look at these two psukim we learned today, you'll notice there are 10 things listed. Neged aseres hadibrois. Hashem over here says that the people over here, you're in violation of the aseres. The reason why I'm going to destroy the world, you're in violation of the aseres hadibrois. Okay, the basics. Namor anoichi hudas. Okay, it's the first pasuk listed three things. And then we had seven things. Anochi hu das. Anochi Hashem Elokecha. That refers to knowledge. There's no das. Shabbos hu emes. Wow. If not for the Gra, you would never say such a thing. Shabbos is called emes. Why is Shabbos emes? Obviously, kamo shamru. Kol ha-mechal is a Shabbos kilu made eder. Kol ha-mechal Shabbos kilu made eder sheker. It's testimony. When you begin Shabbos, we all know that when we say it together. Why are we saying it together? We're saying testimony. Why are we saying testimony? Because the observance of Shabbos is a statement. It is MS that Hashem, you created the world. Go out into the street, the goyim, they don't know who the creator is. Big bang, this world just came about somehow, some way. Sheker. When we observe Shabbos, Zecher l'maisei bereishis. What is maisei bereishis? The Ribbono shel Olam created the world. This is the MS. Observance of Shabbos is a statement of MS. The Gros Megala, our eyes understand a whole new world. Gimel.
Yeah.
What's Gimel Kabeit? When it says Kabeit es avichav yasimecha, so that's the ultimate chesed. Okay, it's when you respect your parents, you care for your parents. This is chesed. This is what's called chesed. Aloy kineged, it's easy. Loy see, so do not swear falsely. Tachesh kineged loy saane. Tachesh means testimony. Do not testify falsely. Rotsayach easy loy tirzach. Gonoiv hu loy tignoiv. Nooif is loy tinaf. Porotsu. Now this is a hard one. Paratsu means to break the boundary. Loi sachnoid. Uve loi sachnoid nichlal shnei lavn. Eche betchilo choymeid. Vi achakach oise. Shehalav loyeh nichlal bianoichi. Lekachilku loi sachnoid lishnei lavn. Okay, so loi sachnoid, there are two loi sachnoid. There's a... Okay, there are two different dimensions to loi sachnoid because there's kavet. That's the machshava. And then there is the actual mice of what you do. So I think what is the hardest mitzvah in the Torah? So some say simcha, others say no, is that it's lo sachmeid is the hardest mitzvah in the Torah. How could a person, you see something and you're not, it's almost healthy because the person wants, you see what your friend has and you also aspire for it.
You're motivated
to live. The whole world is only based, the whole world, the whole gasoline of this world is based upon of Rotzayin. And where, what does a person see? You see what someone else has. He has a nice house. I also want a nice house. I'm going to go to work. He has a beautiful family. I also want to have a nice family. So you have to do things in order to get there. But once you're using L'Sachman in a positive way, you got to be very, very careful that it shouldn't cross the boundary of jealousy. How do you balance the two? How do you balance the need of to desire good things, not to overstep the boundary and enter into the forbidden area? That's a very, very hard thing to do. And that's why many hold that it's mamish, it's the hardest mitzvah in the Torah, lo sachmoid. So here we are, and he's saying over here, fascinating, you said is that lo sachmoid, really what I told you, it fits very well to what I just told you, is lo iparotsu. Paratsu means to trespass, to go over the break the boundary, which means you're allowed to go ad kan, but not further. Meaning, lo sachmoid, chemda is good. It's a good thing you should go to the boundary and to see what's doing on the other side. You'll be motivated to accomplish, to succeed. But be careful, don't trespass, don't go that extra step, because that's already entering into jealousy, into an area where Hashem does not want. So the word paratsu really hits the nail on the head when you're coming to define the essence of what it means, loy sachmoid. So it's beautiful. He over here, he matched up for us 10 things in this pasuk, 10 items listed over here in these two psukim, which match up perfectly to the 10 things, the taseres hadibros. The taseres hadibros, the HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's coming to complain, I'm going to bring Churban, it's because you have failed to keep the basics, the 10 commandments. 10 taseres hadibros. Okay, that concludes the Gra. As much as we're going to do in the Gra, now there's one other thing I wanted to do with you before we wind down for today. Let's look at Rabbi Shmuel Almoy Sninoi. I'm not even sure I got it right what he says, but he says something over here which appears to be very deep. What does it mean? Damin bedamnigo. Look on page 54. On page 54, okay, right in the top line. Veritzoyna loymar. We're going to in the middle, but it's all we need for our discussion. Veritzoyna loymar. Okay, page 54. Rabbi Shmuel Almoy Sninoi. It's on the right side. Veritzoyna loymar paratsu. Shaholchin min ho echol lechaveroi. After a person does an Allah, he swears falsely, and he makes a false shua and he lies. The achar writes him, and then after he does the next letter, he murders. The achar goyim, and afterwards, one leads to the other. The achar writes him, after you do one, it leads to murder, it leads to stealing. The achar mino afim. Now here is the chiddush, what he says. The choizrim tamid cholila. And then it's circular. It's a vicious cycle. That when the person comes to the end of the cycle of niyuf, and he's caught, he's gonna start all over again. It's gonna lead to a new cycle of swearing falsely, on a grander scale. You start with a little lie, and then you do a little act of ginui. What's it say? You start with a white lie. Right, that's the olam. And then comes, you do a little murder. Okay, you insult your friend. A little lie. And then you do abizrayu, the shvichas tamen. You insult your friend, he turns white. And then you steal, and then that's going to lead to, you know, petty theft. Petty theft. And then you have yichud. You start flirting with this guy's wife. Okay? Starts off on a very low level sin. And then what happens? Your friend says to you, why were you talking to my wife? I wasn't talking to your wife. I wasn't talking to your wife. You lie. The cycle starts again. And when the cycle starts again, the lie is bigger. And then you have to cover up your tracks. So then what do? So then you don't just insult someone, you have to cover your tracks. You murder the witness. You do real ritzicha. And then you do real gnei. Okay, whatever this means, it means, but he's saying over here, v'damim b'dam nagahu, he's saying something very profound. It means is that the cycle continues. We list all of these things, and paratzu, you're really going with paratzu. Paratzu means the cycle continues. Ki ilu yesh peretz meho echel lechaver, sh'ayim bo es a'el ha'acher, ad she'giyem mizeh she'damim ha'bom mi'ashvua she'ovar, noigim el adamim ha'magim me'ha'kichisha, v'chein adam ha'bom mi'menu magim el adam ha'bom me'aretzicha v'chein ha'shar. So when it says damim b'dam nagahu, it is an explanation that one leads to the other. The blood of swearing falsely leads to the blood of Ritzicha. The blood of Ritzicha leads to the blood of Geneva. And when it says Paratsu, it means, you think it's over? When you get to the finish line, it's another lap. Keep on going in circles and circles. It's a novel way of understanding the Pshat and the Pasuk. Paratsu and Damim B'damim Nagahu. Okay, so pretty much that for us is the end of these two psukim. Tomorrow we're going to start with Pasuk Dalet.
Yeah.
Pasuk Gimel. Pasuk Gimel. Pasuk Gimel.
Okay.